Okay, is anybody familiar with Mac Davis? Mac Davis, got a hand here, Girls, you know who Mac Davis is?
Nope.
No?
Nope. If they didn't know Dennis the Menace.
I was going to say, you're right. As Deb points out, if you didn't know Dennis the Menace, you're probably not going to know Mac Davis. Augie, have you ever heard of Mac Davis?
No.
No?
I do know Dennis the Menace.
You do know? Well, there you go. You're halfway there then. Mac Davis is a songwriter, a singer, and an actor who is probably most popular in, what do you think, what decade?
70s,
yeah. Although his biggest hit, based on how high it charted, is Baby Don't Get Hooked on Me. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Perhaps his most fun song is Hard to Be Humble, whose chorus goes like this. Ready? Girls, you'll want to hear this. I don't know if I could sing it. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. What do you think? You guys like that one? They're not paying attention, are they? It also has the classic line, I never get lonesome because I treasure my own company. You ever know anybody like that? Who never gets lonesome because they treasure their own company? However, that's not the Mac Davis song that inspired the sermon. Instead, a few weeks back, Michelle and I were following our tradition. We like small traditions. And our tradition of listening to Casey Kasem's American Top 40 on Sirius XM's 70 on 7 while getting ready for church. This chorus from another one of his hits played over the airwaves. And I'm not going to try to sing this one. You got to stop. Well, you know, you got to stop and smell the roses. You got to count your many blessings every day. You're going to find your way to heaven is a rough and rocky road if you don't stop and smell the roses along the way. Know that one? That's an awesome song. According to Billboard, that one got to number 9 in 1970. What do you think?
72.
Four. Actually, the first one, I think the first song... His top hit might have been 72, the one about Baby Don't Get Hooked on Me. But 74 for Stop and Smell the Roses. And with good reason, if you think about it. Mac Davis and Doc Severinsen. What's he famous for?
Doc Tonight Show.
You're right. He was the band leader for The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. They wrote it. It's a catchy tune. And Mac Davis really does have a great voice. And the good news is, he's still alive. And I would also suggest it's biblical. What he sang there, at least in part, is biblical. To see if I'm right, let's dive right into Scripture. We're going to look at a few verses. I won't make you turn to all of them, but I'll make you turn to at least the first one, Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. Ephesians 5, we're going to look at verses 18 through 21. We there? And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks, what?
Always.
And for everything, to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's now turn to 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, I guess I will make you look them all up. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Are we there? Almost. Yes, no, maybe?
No, I can't remember where it is.
That's fine. Glad to wait.
1 Thessalonians 5.
5, 16 through 18. There. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in what?
Everything.
Mine says all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And the last one before we chat again, Psalm 118, 1 through 4. Psalm 118, 1 through 4. All set? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, okay, you guys can say it. It's okay. It's good. You can say it aloud. His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord, that would include us, say, his steadfast love endures forever. What do those three selections tell you to do? Number one, give thanks always and for everything to who? To God, right? Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So, should you give thanks to God?
Yes.
I'm going to go with a yes. How often?
All the time.
All the time. Remember that. That's very important. All the time. So, yes, it is biblical to stop and smell the roses. If anything, point one of this, one of three, I would say, in this short sermon is, we are commanded to stop and smell the roses continually. Think about that. Those are commands. We are commanded to stop and smell the roses continually. And I know it's a bit of a stretch, but how can you give thanks if you don't know what you're giving thanks about? Does that make sense? How can you give thanks if you don't know what you're giving thanks about the roses along the way? However, as important as I think it is that we do whatever the Bible commands, doing something just because we're told to, is that very appealing? I mean, we'll do it, but is that appealing? Is that how you want to live life? The only reason you do things is because you're told to? For instance, years ago, although these wouldn't be ones that will fit what I want to look at, but years ago, I stopped looking at clouds. It had been, and I don't know how long, it might have been for over a decade, I stopped looking at the clouds. I got so caught up in life, often with the miserableness of work at that point, I missed something that I always loved as a kid. I really liked looking at the clouds back in New Hampshire. I had stopped looking at the clouds a long time before, but clouds are beautiful. Clouds are amazing. Would you agree I should stop and look at the clouds? And not because I'm commanded to, but because clouds are beautiful. Clouds are amazing. And I feel better when I take time to actually look at them. Have you ever seen somebody, like on Facebook, Deb, where there's a period of time where at least they list like one to three things a day that they're thankful for? Yes, it's a gimmick, but it works. So you should stop. Look at the clouds. Stop. Smell the roses. So let's go back to Mac Davis again. Specifically his song, Stop and Smell the Roses. Another verse from this is, did you ever take a walk through the forest, stop and dream a while among the trees? Well, you can look up through the leaves, right straight to heaven. You can almost hear the voice of God in each and every breeze. Isn't that kind of neat? Probably didn't think of it being basically almost a Christian song in some respects. Might I suggest that another songwriter has an even better take? Let's take a look at Psalm 19, 1 through 6. Psalm 19, 1 through 6. Which songwriter is this as we're looking for it?
Solomon?
Nope.
David.
You were just one generation away. Although with the Psalms, usually if it's going to be a name, it's going to be David. It's not all David, but that's a safe one. Just like any other question I ask, you could just say Jesus. In this case, if I say who wrote Psalm, it's probably David. 19, 1 through 6. Are we there? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end. End of the world. I said that clouds are amazing, and they are, both visually and mechanically, if you think about how they actually work. Mac Davis sings of a similar experience that we could have in a forest. And I don't know if you've ever gone into the middle of a forest and just looked up. It is pretty amazing with tall trees. And we have some nice forests within driving distance around here. But that's only true if we allow ourselves to have that experience. King David takes it one step forward and notes that creation is so incredible, it declares the glory of God and proclaims his handiwork. Creation is so incredible, it declares the glory of God and proclaims his handiwork. So point 2 of 3 of this sermon is, stop and smell the roses because they are pretty darn amazing. If you think about it, you should stop and smell the roses because they are pretty darn amazing. And understand, I've only brought up a micro smidgen of the incredible blessings that God has given us. Everybody sitting here right now has a roof over their head, food on their table, and clothes on their back. Those are roses worth smelling, aren't they? And think about all the other incredible things that we take for granted. Everything from smartphones that keep us connected and entertained, to how music, like Mac Davis, can lift us so high, to the smile of a child, a grandchild, right? Those all came from God. James 1, 16 through 18 reminds us where they all came from. Let's take a look. James 1, 16 through 18. Are we there? 16 through 18. Let me know when you're all set, love. No, there's no rush. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Did I say through 18? Yep. Through 18, of his own he will be brought, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of the truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Brought us forth. Boy, you know what? I had a hard time reading that, but you got to admit that. It says, of his own he...
Of his own will.
Oh, okay, there we go. Okay, so everybody listening online, I'm wearing new glasses, and they make me dizzy, but I'm getting used to it. You're right. So here, let me say it right for everybody. Of his own will, meaning he wanted to do it, right?
Yes.
Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Every good gift comes from who?
God.
God, right. The Father of lights. And every good gift is a rose worth stopping to smell. Of course, not all Christian lives are as ridiculously blessed as ours are. We truly take stuff for granted that others would consider an extravagance, a wild extravagance. Worse, for many of our brothers and sisters, their lives are full of constant suffering, whether from lack of having their basic needs met, persecution, or other difficult circumstances. What rose do we have in common with them? A rose that both they and we should stop and smell. I see a hand up in the back.
They're saved.
I'm not going to tell you if that's the punchline or not, but I think you're at least close, maybe on the mark. You know, it was actually revealed a bit in James when he said, we should be kind, should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Remember that? Let's get close to wrapping up by reviewing two more references. The first is Colossians chapter 3, 2 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, 2 through 4. All set? Yep. Colossians 3, 2 through 4. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And now let's turn back to Ephesians 1, 3 through 10. Ephesians 1, 3 through 10. Good. Okay. 1, 3 through 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. What rows do we have in common with every other member of Christ's family?
We're saved.
We're saved, but I would use a different word that covers that. Redemption. What did I tell you that generally anytime I ask a question, if it's not like the other ones, you should answer? Jesus, right? Isn't that what we have in common? And the fact that we have salvation is because of Jesus, so you got it. The fact that we have redemption is because of Jesus. But that is the rose that we have in common with every believer around the world. Whether they're ridiculously blessed like we are, or they're suffering constantly like others are. Let's set our minds on the things that are above versus the trials and tribulations here on earth. No matter how bad things get, they are what? Temporary. They are temporary. This is not a sci-fi or horror movie where somebody has the technology or the magic to keep you alive so they can torture you forever. When sin entered this world, God was kind enough to ensure our suffering has a limit. However, more importantly, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. And when he returns, we read verses in Colossians that said, we will appear with him in glory, and then we'll spend all eternity with him. Not because we deserve it, but because of what he did on the cross. What Jesus wanted to do from the foundation of the world was the Father's will. We talked earlier during Bible study about whether the Father and Jesus differ. It says it was the Father's will, right? It was Jesus' will, the Godhead's will, the Trinity's will to save us. Point 3 of 3, the greatest rose is Jesus. The greatest rose is Jesus. We are commanded to stop and smell the roses continually. You should stop and smell the roses because they're pretty darn amazing. The greatest rose is Jesus. Now, I'm not going to suggest you stop and smell Jesus, because even if that's metaphorical, it just doesn't sound right. But you know what I mean. What we're going to do is we're going to wrap up with the beginning of Mac Davis' song. Ready? Hey, mister, where are you going in such a hurry? Don't you think it's time you realize there's a whole lot more to life than work and worry? The sweetest things in life are free and right before your eyes. Hey, brother and sister, where are you going in such a hurry? Don't you think it's time you realized there's a whole lot more to life than work and worry? The sweetest thing in life, Jesus, is free. And there, right before your eyes, keep your eyes upon Jesus.